That letter is really moving for me, and talk about love beyond belief. That's exactly what the content of that letter is about from your partner church. Well, I did a little bit of research before coming here on the demographics of Providence, Rhode Island. I learned that the city of Providence went from being about 97% non-Hispanic white in 1970 to something like 35% today. The metro area, so even counting the suburbs, which if it's like the rest of America has been the recipient of white flight, even with the metro area, the population of non-Hispanic whites is down to 76%. A lot has changed here in a very short amount of time. And of course, this is a common story throughout much of the United States. During my 25 years as a minister in Appleton, Wisconsin, the proportion of non-Hispanic whites went from 96% to 85%, not like here, but still a significant change. Our nation is becoming more diverse, and this is happening not just in coastal metro areas like this, but in smaller heartland cities like Appleton. And in some profound ways, I believe that Make America Great Again embodies a racist nostalgia for the world when places like Appleton and Providence were almost 100% white. And it is nostalgia, because that world is not coming back. Arrests of undocumented people and deportation, shutting the door to refugees, curtailing visas for high-tech workers, various verbal and lethal harassment of African Americans, banning Muslims from entering the United States. Try as some people might, the diversity genie is not going to go back in the bottle. And I don't want to diminish the impact of these things on people. Such acts are enormously destructive to many individuals, to families, to the fabric of our communities. But they will not ultimately return us to 1980 or 1880. This is the reality in the United States and around much of the world. The world is relentlessly plural. And actually, it always has been. We're just figuring this out now. I think it was William Sloan Coffin who talked about the wasteful extravagance of creation. And he talked about how there are 20,000 different species of bees. 20,000. Since the dawn of life in our world, this planet has always been relentlessly plural. It's the nature of the world, and it's the nature of humanity. And given this fact of plurality, I believe we are called to acknowledge it and engage with it. And this means that we need to engage with each other across all those walls that divide us. So let's zero in on religion. So there are a dizzying number of religions in Appleton, where I used to live, in Providence, in the United States, in the world. And to survive in this religiously plural world and neighborhood, we need to acknowledge and engage with each other's religions. The well-being and perhaps even the survival of our planet depends on us figuring out how to do this, how to stop fighting and even killing one another over religious differences. So we Unitarian Universalists are quite proud of the fact that we really haven't killed other people for their religion. Now, I'm a little bit cynical. I think this is because we never really have had the power to do that. Not that we're just better people. One thing we do have in spades as Unitarian Universalists, and it's not so good, is an inclination to look down our noses at other religions, and honestly, especially Christianity. We have a tendency to feel like we're the smart ones. We're the ones who have graduated to something greater and wiser and more intelligent than a lot of other people, but, you know, give them time and they'll come along. And that premise actually prevents us from a deep level of engagement with people from other faiths, in my view. Well, somewhere in my own story, I came to the understanding that other religions and my engagement with other religions has been crucial in my own spiritual journey. The liberal Catholic theologian Paul Nitter wrote a book called Without Buddha, I Would Not Be a Christian. What a great title. What I realize is that, like him, that engagement with other religions has changed my mind, my heart, and my beliefs. Without Buddha, I could not be a Unitarian Universalist. Without Jesus, I could not be a Unitarian Universalist. Without Hinduism, I could not be a Unitarian Universalist. In some very significant ways, although I am not Hindu, never was, am not now, in some very significant ways, I found my faith, my Unitarian Universalist faith, and my call to ministry while I was studying Hindus in Sri Lanka during a semester abroad in college. Being there was kind of like being outside a store window looking at exotic people on the other side, exotic to me. The people through that metaphorical window worshiped gods embodied in stone, in trees, in fields. Their services would have bells clanging, incense burning, colors abounding with people possessed by the spirits of gods. Nothing could have been further from my Unitarian Universalist faith. But then, as I'm looking in that window, I see a reflection of myself looking in, and I learn something about myself and my own beliefs. The window became a mirror. And my UU faith changed as a result. It became deeper, it became more expansive, it became more inclusive, it became humbler. And what's more, I have to share that one of the most impactful moments in my journey to ministry happened there in Sri Lanka. So I did this independent study where I was studying rites of passage and living at a refugee camp next door to a temple. So one day I'm walking across this little area between the refugee camp and the temple, and I'm with the translator, and the priest comes up from the temple, and we stop and chat. And suddenly in the middle of this conversation with, you know, through a translator, he grabs a hold of my hand, and he looks deeply into my eyes, and he says, the translator told me, "I sense the soul of a priest in you." What? I was there because I thought I was going to become a professor of comparative religions. I wanted to study religion, not do religion. But there was a little seed of doubt about my chosen career path that took hold at that moment. Right there in that courtyard, between a temple and a refugee camp, on the other side of the world, right there in that place and moment where I was as far from everything I knew and everything that made me comfortable as possible, that place, so far away, I found out something about myself. Thus began a series of doubts, questions, tentative steps forward and backwards and forward again until 7 years later, I was ordained. So honestly, I don't think I'd be here talking to you today as a minister without those experiences in Sri Lanka. And also, I wouldn't be doing the kind of work I'm doing. You see, the essential plurality of the universe, this abundance, there's no theology that evokes that better than Hinduism, in my view, with these millions and millions of gods. So engaging deeply with that tradition has given me a mythology to think and feel about plurality. The idea of the divine is paradoxically one, and at the very same time embodied in millions of physical deities. Well, that idea has become a foundational part of my Unitarian Universalist faith. And it's been the organizing principle of my ministry in Appleton, and now my ministry with the UU Partner Church Council. Without Hinduism, I could not be a Unitarian Universalist. I've had the good fortune in St. Louis of becoming friends with a woman, I live in St. Louis now, with a woman who grew up in Sri Lanka, is a Presbyterian minister, and is the professor of systematic theology at a seminary in St. Louis. She talks about five qualities that are needed for interfaith engagement to be impactful on both people. Humility, awe, generosity, openness, and proximity. Humility, awe, generosity, openness, and proximity. Unitarian Universalists have long engaged in interfaith dialogue, and the extent to which we're able to embody these qualities, humility, awe, generosity, openness, proximity, will determine whether these efforts are fruitful. So I feel called to this work with partnership, like your partnership with the Transylvanian congregation, because it's intimately related to interfaith work. The truth is, there are astounding and beautiful differences between different variations of our global Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist faith across the world. Unitarianism in Kenya has a sort of Christian charismatic feel to it. Philippines Unitarian Universalism emphasizes the universalist part of our heritage, the idea that all people are saved. In the Philippines, it's largely the faith of subsistence farmers and fisher people, a very different demographic from most North American UU congregations. In Northeast India, Unitarianism is a really interesting amalgam of liberal Christianity, monotheistic Hinduism, and the indigenous religion there. Indonesian Unitarianism began as a reform within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And our faith in Transylvania is a Christian Unitarian faith. Our siblings, our kinfolk in faith in Transylvania believe in the humanity, not the divinity of Jesus, and they consider themselves Christian. And the whole sort of faith has an Eastern European sensibility about it. Now, our faith looks a little more familiar in places like the UK and Western Europe and Canada, but still, it's different in each place. One of my favorite stories, it's a simple story about the differences within this global Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist faith, happened back in 2000 when three other people in my congregation in Appleton and I traveled to visit our partner church in Transylvania for the first time. I remember we were riding in the car with our partner church minister, and we were on a very steep mountain road going down. And he had spent a year, just a few years before we were there, as a scholar, a minister scholar in Berkeley, at Star King School for the Ministry. And every weekend, just about through that year, he had preached in different Unitarian Universalist congregations. But suddenly, as we're going down this steep, steep road, he slams on the brakes. And he looks at us and he says, "You don't all believe in God, do you?" Unitarian Universalists in North America don't all believe in God. This just hit him. We said, "Yeah, you're right. Probably a few of us in the car don't." There was a moment of silence. Then he said, "That's fine with me," and drove on. And we laughed hysterically. And then we had the most amazing conversation about what does it mean to believe in God or not to believe in God. How does this impact who we are and how we live our lives? So international partnerships such as yours with Santa Casa is an amazing opportunity to dive deep into these differences that make our global UU faith so very rich. Now your partners, like I said, will all say that they're Christian. Some of you will, some of you don't. Your partners are village folks. Some of you may have been raised in a village, but you're not in a village now. I'd guess that most of your partners have a more traditional sensibility than you have. So visiting with them or having them come here is a little like visiting with cousins in a very different view with quite different viewpoints. And if you open yourselves up to each other, you will grow. So you want a great place to practice love beyond belief? Your partnership is such a place. And what we need to make international UU partnerships like yours thrive is those things that my St. Louis friend talked about. Humility, awe, generosity, openness, and proximity. International UU partnerships are all about these things. We emphasize getting to know each other through physical visits and virtual visits. That's the proximity. And then the only way it works is if we can open our hearts with generosity, if we can be aware of the presence of awe, then those partnerships can change who we are, can change our congregation. So partnership is an opportunity to look through a window at people who are different from us in many ways, but are kinfolk, and then to get to know them, and then to change each other. So like any organic relationship, your partnership with Santa Casa, which goes back to 2005, it's been around for 13 years, your partnership is gonna need consistent care. For it to be around 13 years from now and 50 years from now, it's gonna need your care. It also needs new people coming into it, getting involved, making it their own. So if you have not been involved in your partnership, I invite you to get involved, to figure out a way, if you feel moved, to become part of it. Now, I know this probably isn't done very often here, and I haven't talked to Liz about it, but I want to do an altar call. Okay, not really. A sort of altar call. But rather than coming up here to confess and testify, I want to be part of this. Instead, we'll do it in a more UU way, where in the atrium, after the service, there's going to be a table with a sign-up sheet. All right. And yes, it will be staffed by people who can answer your questions. And I invite you, if you have any interest in this, any interest at all, to sign your name. And folks will get in touch with you to find out how you might want to be involved. Please know, I'm not asking you to join a committee. Some people don't like to join committees, but there's lots of other ways to get involved, and there's the committee work, which is really important. There's ways to get involved. So I do invite you to stop by there and respond to the altar call. I want to say one last thing about that. I especially invite young adults who are here today to get involved. We would love to have your involvement. And you will help change it and get partnership going into the next generation. So what I want to say today, friends, is that it is not time to walk away from our kinfolk in Transylvania so we can concentrate on America first. Now is the time to double down on international partnerships. Now's the time to double down on your partnership, even though it's getting clear that there are some fundamental disagreements between you and your partners. That's the time to lean into it, to learn from one another, to change one another. The world needs partnership. Your partners in Santa Chaza need you. And you, my friends, need them. You need them to become the best, the deepest, the most inclusive Unitarian Universalists you can possibly be. May you and your partners have each other for a long, long time. May it be so.